and prepared a wonderful curriculum that I've read over, and I've shared this with a few others. And so starting on that night, for several weeks, he's going to be teaching this in-depth class on what we believe and why. So I want to encourage you to come and support that class and grow more in your walk. So if you have any questions, I ask you to please come and visit with Brother Tom after church, and he'll instruct you how to get there where he's at, and just go and have a wonderful time in the Lord. So most of our text today will come from the book of Acts. Giving, greeting, and going. Three other ways to witness. So I'm going to talk this morning on some pretty neat stuff the Lord has given me. But before we get into that, being that the probably 99% of our text today is from the book of Acts, it made me think about something that I remembered, a funny story sometime long ago. An elderly lady came home after she'd been out for a while, and she came into her kitchen finding a burglar. He was coming out of her living room, and he had an arm full of stuff, and he was trying to steal her things, and he was trying to leave. Well, she didn't have anything to hit him with, or no kind of weapon or anything to do, so she began to quote scripture at him, and she began to scream at him, Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sin. And she prayed that over and over and over. She just screamed that at this gentleman. He froze in place. He didn't know what to say. He didn't know what to do. Well, very soon she called 911, and of course the police were on the way, and they were amazed to find this burglar still standing there. And they asked the lady, said, what kept him from moving? What happened here? She said, well, all I did was quote Acts 2:38 to him. I just kept saying it over and over and over. And the police began to laugh. And they took the burglar out to the patrol car. And they asked him, they said, why in the world did that lady quoting scripture scare you so bad? He said, scripture? Man, all I heard was that old woman had an axe and 2:38. And that's all I cared about, man. So, you know. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, let's get into God's Word this morning. Amen. Acts chapter 4 will be our first passage. And as we read these, I'm just going to get into the message. So I won't read all of these at once, but we will begin in chapter 4, beginning in verse 36. And the Word of God says this, and Joseph, who by the apostles were surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. And we'll just stop right there. Let us pray. Father, we love you. Thank you so much that we could have the opportunity to be here. Thank you for all of those who have gathered. Lord, it is so wonderful to see so many want to come and hear the Word. So many want to come and fellowship together. Lord, we just thank you for the presence, Lord, that we have here in this small community, Lord, that we would have the opportunity to literally reach around the world through different means, Lord, through the technology that we have today. What a joy it is to stand here today, Lord, and preach your Word. I thank you for the joy of music. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that the name of Jesus has been honored this morning, both in our classes prior to our time now and now in this time of worship. We thank you for the anointing, Lord, that we've had on what we've done so far. And we pray that would continue, Lord, in this message that you have prepared by your servant's hand. And now I just pray, Lord, as we go into this word, Lord, it would be heard by every heart and every soul, that everyone, Lord, today would be touched in some kind of mighty way. And just as we sang, while we were teaching, somebody touched me. May we hear that today, Lord. We just thank you for what you're going to do. We ask your blessing over this. We ask it now and forever, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You know, it's hard to believe, as I was searching and looking, that today would be the beginning of our fifth month here. It's hard to believe that time has flown by that fast. I actually wrote, if you see the little note in the bulletin today, that I had wrote four, but my wife corrected me. She said, no, it's five, because we started May the 1st, and we went through the whole month of May, June, July, August, and now here we are, September. But let me tell you, it's been a wonderful journey. We've had a great time, and the best is yet to come. When I got here, when I first started talking, I started talking about how important our witness is. How important it is to tell people about Jesus. It's one of our key objectives. It's one of our main objectives, and certainly it is a command from God Himself. But when we hear the word witnessing, We generally think and immediately almost attach it to some type of evangelistic work or some type of, you know, Christian talking to someone and just leading someone to Christ, whether it's preaching, whether it's teaching, or whatever the case. And certainly in the Bible, we see lots of evidence that that is very, very true. We've seen Peter, as he witnessed on the day of Pentecost and delivered an incredible message that saw 3,000 people get saved all at one time. I could only imagine the power that was in the air on that day. I mean, I just think of what it could have been like to have seen that happen. That would have just been amazing. Paul, he witnessed to the Philippian jailer while he was in prison. Now here he was. He'd been beaten. He'd been battered. He'd been, you know, wrongly accused. He was in there and all this stuff, but he never lost his spirit. He never lost his hope. No, in fact, he and Silas were singing, they said, singing praises unto God that other people heard them. And one of the other people that heard them, of course, was the jailer. And he asked Paul maybe what the most important question of all times is. He asked Paul, "What must I do to be saved?" In other words, he's like, "I want what you've got. How can I have it?" Paul witnessed to him, and his life was changed. The life of his family was changed forever. The power of witnessing is immeasurable when it's from the heart, when it's real, when we really, really mean it. But what I want us to see today is the other side of that, the believer's side of it, if you will. I want us to look at what it means to witness to one another. I want us to look at three things this morning in particular that are different, maybe that aren't talked about enough. Yeah, we're saved here this morning. I hope that all of us are here this morning, saved, baptized, forgiven, on our way to heaven. But my friends, we need to be witnessed to as well. We need to be witnessed to by our actions as well as our words. This is a part of our growing process. This is a part of what makes things better in our life. You see, witness does not just mean to talk. It also actually means to see, to observe something. We need this because it builds our faith. It builds and strengthens, if you will, our ability to do what we're doing, which ultimately strengthens us as a body and strengthens us as a church. So I want us to look today at the person of Barnabas and three different distinct passages that talk about giving. It talks about greeting. It talks about going. The three other ways to witness and see how important it is when we apply these to our own lives. So here we understand, if we look at the life and the person of Barnabas, he understood this kind of witnessing that I'm speaking of today. And he gives us the examples, which of course led me to developing this sermon title, Greeting, Going, and Going. Greeting, Giving, and Going. I'll get it right in a minute. You don't say that fast three times, you mess it up. So I want us to look back, and we'll begin back in this first passage that we just had up, Acts 4. And we'll read again. And it says, "And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus." Now, it says here, "having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." Now, this was a time, we have to understand, where things were difficult. Things were difficult for the church in Jerusalem. They were struggling. A lot of different things were going on. And working together was imperative. They had to have that unity. They had to come together and work with as one. It was extremely necessary. Because you see, what had happened was many of those who were there had indeed come for the Passover, but unexpected to them, they got saved. You know, while things happened there on that day, and they decided to stay on. They needed to stay there. But in order to stay, of course, they needed things. They had to have things in order to survive. So they took care of one another. Acts 4 and 32 says, "The multitude of them who believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of these things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common." Now see here, they're saying, and the message they were trying to get across is, we're here for one another. We're here to make this right. In other words, they took care of one another. They demonstrated which can be seen. If you have a demonstration of something, whether it's someone demonstrating a product, whether someone's holding a demonstration, whatever the case may be, a demonstration is able to be seen, and they demonstrated their love for one another, their care for one another, by pulling together what they all had. They came together to take care of one another. When things get hard, people get discouraged. They begin to wonder, how am I going to make it? What's going to happen? The world we're living in today is no different. Times have only gone by, but situations have not necessarily changed. People get discouraged when things get hard. This world that we live in today, my friends, can be very discouraging. More and more people, in fact, are giving up. More and more people are quitting. A lot of them are taking their own lives. And this is even within the body of Christ. We're not talking about the lost people out here who have no hope. We're talking about the people who have the blessed hope and they are not looking to Him. We need to witness to one another, to encourage one another. We can be witnesses to each other by multiple different ways. And today we're going to look at three. The first one is giving. Now you may say, well, Pastor, are you talking about money? Yeah, if need be. If that's what it takes. If that's what it's needed to be an encouragement. You see, the first church, they understood the concept of family. They understood the concept of helping one another. They saw the importance of being one. They were made up of many, but they were one body. And that's what's so important. This has been lost in a selfish world. This has been lost in a selfish world. Barnabas. The word Barnabas actually means encourager. Encourager. See, he was a part of this. He understood this. And in this passage here, we see that he saw that there was a need. There was a need, and he wanted to help. And he did what he could to help. In this particular situation, it was giving. That was what was important at that moment. That's what they needed at that moment. So that's what he did. He had the ability to be a blessing to others, and he did it. He did it. He didn't think about it. He did it. That could have been that he could have just given words of encouragement. He could have said, man, I sure hope things get better. And went on. But no, he didn't do that. He didn't, you know, the Bible talks about that, you know, and we think about that. You know, people come to us with a need, whatever it is. Pray for me, or, you know, I've got this situation going on in my life, or, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, that if you have that situation and that person is hungry and you say, you know, I'll think about it, or I'll pray for your need and walk away, they're still hungry. Barnabas here saw that these people had a need and that he had the ability to help. He knew he could do more than just talk about it. He knew he had the ability to do that. So sometimes giving, when we talk about giving sometimes, especially in church, it's a sensitive subject. Nobody don't like to hear about that. I don't even like to talk about it sometimes. But this is because of the way that it's been talked about. If it's talked about right, it can be embraced. If it's talked about in the way that we need to hear, it can be encouraging. It can be a witness. It can be helpful. Sometimes people turn away because of the reputation of television preachers, because they beg and cry. And that's all that you hear when you turn their programs on. You rarely hear the gospel. You hear about, oh, we got to have this and we got to have that. And, you know, the hour is going by and you're like, okay, well, you know, and they're telling you the whole time, we need all this stuff so we can send this gospel around the world. And you're like, well, I hadn't heard it yet. You know, I mean, where's it all at? You know, you've been talking about this the whole time. But in this situation here, we understand that Barnabas saw this was a way to witness to believers. It was a way to encourage those who were new in their faith. They were thinking, what in the world? God has promised to take care of our provisions. He has promised to take care of our very, very needs. Now, that doesn't say by sitting and just waiting on it to fall on our lap. Here, Barnabas saw that giving was a witness. It was an encouragement, if you will, to all of those that were in need. He saw their need, and they saw him step up. Now, think about that. He saw their need. They saw him step up. They saw him take care of business, and he met their need. Now, nowhere do we see in this passage that he did it for attention, or that he did it to be patted on the back, or get a plaque, or get a statue, or be recognized anyway. It just says that he brought it and laid it at the apostles' feet. In other words, I see the need, here it is. Meet the need, do whatever you can with it. We see a very humble attitude. Giving can be a tremendous witness. It can be a tremendous encouragement to fellow believers who struggle with what to do. Many people today are struggling. What do I do? There's an old saying that says, lead by example. Lead by example. Now, not everybody can give $1 million. Not everybody can give $1,000. But some may be able to just give $1. But it's not the gift that God is looking at. That's where we get hung up on. How much? That is not what God is looking for. Yes, we need things to operate. Yes, we need the things to keep the lights turned on and to keep the preacher fed and all this other good stuff. We need those. I just thought I'd slip that in. But no, we need that thing. But God, it looks at the heart. Why do you think when it says God loves the cheerful giver? That's not the person that's saying, whoo, look at all this, they're throwing $100 bills. No, he's looking at their heart. Do I really want to do this? Do I give it with the right attitude? He looks at the heart when we give. We must seek God's leading as to how much. We must seek God's leading as to when and where and why and on so. And then be obedient to whatever God tells you to do. I mean, that's just the way it works. And if we are obedient to whatever it is that he says to do in that particular aspect, I promise you this. The Bible says, and I've proven it to myself, it'll always come back. In one way or another, you won't miss it. You won't lose it. It's not like you're giving it away. The Bible is clear. And as I just said, I personally learned when we give, God, when we go to him in leading and guiding and ask us what to do, and he shares and he tells us and we feel it impressed upon our heart, it always comes back 100-fold. Now that doesn't mean, like the guys, the prosperity guys, that if you give 1,000, you're going to get 100,000. That's not what I'm talking about. It's the blessings that God can pour into your life through other people, through this, through that, all kinds of different things. His blessings cannot be contained. They cannot be contained. We are often able to do more, to ask more, to give more, to do these, but we're hesitant because of the unsure world we live in, because of the uncertainty of the world. But we have to remember this, my friends, God doesn't operate under the world system. God does not operate under the world system. His investment program has never and will never fail, ever. That is a promise. Barnabas understood this. You see, he realized that he could help. And he was obedient. He did it. Now, again, we don't see the behind the scenes. We don't know what thoughts went through his head. We don't know how much he pondered. We don't know how much he prayed. But the bottom line is, he was obedient. He sold the land and he gave the money to the apostles to help the needs. And he was blessed. And many were blessed because of his obedience. H.A. Ironside was a pastor back from the early 1900s. And he said this. He said, I would like to have a name like Barnabas. I would like to have a name like Barnabas. I would like to be the means of consolation to God's people. That says a whole lot when you think about it. I want to be looked at, not in great favor and platitudes and praises and all that stuff, but I just want to be seen as a help. Think about that. I want to be seen as a help, but he says to God's people. Yes, we are to witness and to reach out into the world. But in doing so, because of being turned away or because of the attitudes or because of the, we oftentimes ourselves can be discouraged. We oftentimes ourselves need a reboost, if you will. If you got a phone or you got a anything that has a battery in it, after a while, what happens? You got to plug that rascal back in and charge it back up, right? Or it's dead. And once it's dead, it doesn't do you a bit of good. It just lays there. We need a recharging every now and then. And it comes from within. We have to encourage one another, build up one another. Matthew Henry, another pastor of old, said, Barnabas was of one designed to be a preacher of the gospel, but he disentangled himself from the affairs of this life. In other words, he saw what was most important. That was to encourage one another. Because if we encourage one another and we're built up and we're full of the power of God and we're full of the encouragement that comes from one another, then we can be a blessing to someone else. We can lead the charge. We're the ones that can bring the people in to come to know the Lord. We see here that Barnabas was one who trusted God. And he trusted his promises. Because God said, if you do this for me, if you're obedient for me, you won't miss it. It will be taken care of. And the blessings that will come back will be unbelievable. You won't be able to contain them. His giving was a witness to other believers. The second thing, second witness is greeting. Greeting. Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 26. And the Word of God says this. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them. In other words, he told them how he had seen the Lord in the way. And that he had spoken to him. And now he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. When you go somewhere, when you come into a room, when you go into a new place, whatever the case may be, and you do not feel welcomed, or you are not greeted at all, or you feel completely out of place, that is a terrible feeling. That is a terrible feeling. Now here, Paul, or Saul at this time, they had not known his new name. They only knew who he had been. They didn't know for sure that he had been changed. Or at least if it was true. Maybe they had heard, but they weren't sure. And it says here that they were afraid of him. And this reason was because of his reputation. Because at one time, he was a bad guy. I mean, he was a bad, bad guy. No question about that. His new walk, though. Here he just started walking with the Lord. Here he's with the disciples. The ones who were supposed to be working with Jesus, walking with Jesus. He walks in the door. But he was still on the outside. He was not welcome. Because let me tell you something. If you are afraid of someone, you don't welcome them. You don't greet them with a big, how do you do, and hug their neck. And that's not what happened here. That's exactly Paul, his conversion. We got to understand who we're talking about. His conversion, the work that he did was key to the success and growth of the early church. He was the one who created all of these things through God's power. He was transformed from a murderer to a missionary. He was changed from a persecutor to a preacher. And now here he is not welcomed in the presence of those that were walking with God himself and walking with the person of Christ. And again, though, it says they were afraid of him. So we know that he wasn't welcomed. He wasn't greeted properly or warmly. How we, each and every one of us, greet every person who comes through our door. How we greet every person who comes through our door is a witness for Christ and is a witness to our church. It is extremely, extremely important. The fear the disciples had for the person of Paul, it nearly cost them the opportunity, if you will, the tremendous blessing of working together with one of the true greats, with one of the real heroes of our faith. When we see through this passage, though, that Barnabas once again stepped up. He stepped up and he witnessed through greeting, through his welcome, through his embrace or whatever, handshake or whatever happened. We don't know. He took the lead, if you will. And he welcomed Paul in and then he encouraged everybody else to do so. He started telling them what was going on, and by his witness of greeting, he encouraged all of those others to embrace this new brother. He encouraged everyone to say, hey, yeah, he did all those things. But look at what God has done now. Look at the transformation in his life. Look at how God has done. And it says here that he's spoken boldly. He's spoken boldly in the name of Jesus. H.A. Ironside once again said of Barnabas, the testimony of Barnabas authenticated the testimony of Paul. And so, in other words, he presented Paul's case to those who were doubting, those who were wondering what was going on. We see here that his witness, that others could see it. How was that? His greeting, his welcoming of this other brother. He could see it. They could see that it was okay. And that fear was no longer necessary. The witness of greeting sets the tone for everything. If you, again, if you come into a place and you're not made to feel welcome, you're never comfortable the whole time you're there. You're never comfortable the whole time you're there. Jesus said, Jesus was, and he still is welcoming. He invites us to come. He invites us to come to him. He invites us to come into his presence. The question we must ask is, are we doing the same? Are we doing the same for all who come? Is our witness by greeting showing Jesus? Is it showing and letting others know that not only are they welcomed, but they are wanted? Because you can be welcomed in the room. Hello, good to have you. But we don't need you. You can still not be wanted. Here he's saying we need to do both. This type of witness is extremely beneficial for us as believers and for us as a church as a whole as we grow. Because as we grow, our greeting is a large part of our witness. Who are we? Are we welcoming and warm and friendly? Or are we cold and mean and dead? Ever been in a church like that? I have. Wonder if you was at a funeral. You didn't know what was going on. That's not what God wants us to be. And nor do I believe that we are here. We have a wonderful welcoming here. But as with all things, there's always room to get better, right? We can keep doing more. We can keep adding. We can keep doing. The type of witness that we have through our greeting as we grow, as we have more people, as we have new faces, the importance of that will continue to move up the list more and more and more until every face, every person, everything that comes through that door is going to be showered with greetings and welcome. We absolutely, each and every one of us as believers, we need to be like Barnabas and we need to witness to one another. We need to encourage one another through what we do. And one of the ways is with a warm welcome. That is so, so important. It sets the tone for everything. I want to share this little kind of story poem type thing with you that I think really fits right into the mold of this. This person writes and says, I showered and shaved and I adjusted my tie. I got there and sat in a pew just in time. Bowing my head in prayer as I closed my eyes, I saw the shoe of the man next to me touching my own, and I sighed. With plenty of room on either side, I thought, why must our souls touch? It bothered me, his shoe touching mine. The prayer began from the pulpit, our Father, and I began to think, man with the shoes, he has no pride. They're dusty and worn and scratched. Even worse, there's holes on the side. Thank you for the blessings, the prayer went on. The shoe man said a quiet amen. I tried to focus on the prayer, but my thoughts were on these shoes. Are we supposed to look our best when we walk through the door? Well, that certainly isn't it, I thought, glancing toward the floor. Then the prayer was ended and the songs of praise began. The shoe man was so loud, singing proudly as he sang. His voice lifted the rafters, his hands were raised high. The Lord could surely hear this man's voice from the sky. It was time for the offering and what I threw in was steep. But I watched the shoe man deep into his pockets and I saw what he put in. Then I heard a soft clink when the silver hit the tin. The sermon surely bored me to tears, and that's no lie. It must have been the same for the shoe man, for the tears fell from his eyes. But at the end of the service, as is custom here, we're to greet new visitors and show them good cheer. Some reason I felt moved, and now I wanted to meet this man. So after the closing prayer, I reached over and I shook his hand. He was old and his skin was dark and his hair was truly a mess. But I thanked him for coming and thanked him for being our guest. He said, "Good morning. My name is Charlie and I'm glad to meet you, friend." The tears were in his eyes, but then he had a large, wide grin. He said, "Let me explain," as he wiped the tears from his eyes. He said, "I've been coming here for months, but you're the first one to say hi. I know that my appearance is not like the rest, but I really do try hard to always look my best. I clean and polish my shoes before my long walk, but then before I get here, they're dirty and dusty like chalk. My heart filled with pain, and I swallowed to hide my tears." As he continued to apologize for daring to sit so near, he said, "When I get here, I know I look a sight, but I thought if I could just touch you, then our souls might unite." I became silent for a moment, not knowing what to say, and knowing that it would pale in comparison because I spoke from my heart, not my head. "Oh, you've touched me," I've said, "and taught me in part that the best of any man is what is found in his heart. The rest, I thought, this shoe man will never know. Just like how thankful I really am that his dirty old soul, his dirty old shoe, just touched my soul." Think about that. We don't know everybody's story. We don't know everybody's situation when they walk into a door. But we can show them Jesus. We can show them Jesus with a handshake, with a hug. I remember another story that said a car come pulling into the parking lot one Sunday morning. I'm going to try to remember this the best off the top of my head. And this person pulled into a parking spot in the outside. And another car come wheeling in behind him. And he jumped out and he just jumped all in his face and said, "Man, what is wrong with you? That's my parking space." And the person driving the car who had pulled into the, he said, "I'm sorry. I didn't mean to." He said, "No, you took my place. You took my place and I'm upset with you." Well, this gentleman, he went on into the church. He sat on the very back row. And just as he got to sit down, an elderly lady walked in and said, "That's my seat. You took my place. You got to get up." Well, this continued on through the greeting process. He continued being told, "I took your place. You took my place. You took my place. You took my place." Well, as the preacher began to preach and the service began to go, all of a sudden the lights began to dim. And all of a sudden a powerful surge hit this building. And this gentleman that everybody had been proclaiming took their place. He began to stand up and his old raggedy clothes and all the different things began to change and transform. And his hands came out and there was holes in his hands. And his feet shone and there was holes in his feet. And he was in a glowing white robe. And everybody said, "What's wrong with you?" And he said, "I took your place." It's important who comes through the door. I don't care who they are, that they hear the gospel of Christ. How awful would it be if they turned and went out because we just didn't say hi? Witnessing in multiple ways is important. Witnessing by our greeting to one another builds us from within. It lets other people know we're real. Giving and greeting are two other ways to witness. But there's one more I wanted to talk about, and that's going. Giving, greeting, and going. Acts chapter 11 is our final passage for today. And the Word of God says this, beginning in verse 22, "Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came, had seen the grace of God and was glad and exhorted them all that with the purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul." Now here, the folks in the church, they needed a go-to guy. They needed someone that could go out and share the results of the revival they'd been having. They sent Barnabas. It says here, they sent for Barnabas. In other words, they needed somebody they could trust. They needed someone that would be willing to go. Doesn't that change everything when there's a willingness to go and do something? Whatever it may be, a willingness to go, a willingness to do are powerful, powerful witnesses amongst believers. We need that encouragement to stoke the fire, if you will, because oftentimes there are just a few who are willing. And so, so often, they're taken advantage of. Oh, brother so-and-so will do it. Sister so-and-so will do it. And then they get stuck with all of it. They're usually humble and they don't say anything. They just do it. But is that really fair? No. Not when we all have the ability and the capability in some capacity to go, to be willing to help. What a witness. What a witness it would be to one another if more would be willing to go. If more would be willing to do. Jesus said the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. In other words, there's a heap of stuff that needs to be done. But I only got a couple of people willing to do it. Not able, willing. There's two different things. Most are able, few are willing. Barnabas was willing, but he needed some help. Who did he turn to? He knew he needed to turn to someone that was going to be willing and able. Well, it says, then he departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. They went on to get some mighty, mighty work done. It says in verse 26, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and disciples were called Christians for the first time in Antioch. The power of witnessing by going, in this particular case, caused more people to get saved. Okay, because two here were willing to go when they were asked. Other people got saved. But the question we have to ask is, what happens when nobody will go? What happens when no one will go? Either nothing, or again, one person gets stuck with everything. And oftentimes, because of that, they get discouraged. They get discouraged. Man, why does nobody ever come? Why does nobody ever want to help? Why does nobody care? They begin to ask themselves these questions because they're happy and excited and joyful and glad to be used. But after a while, enough is enough. You don't mind, but it's like, how about everybody else? What a witness we can be to one another when we see more and more willing to go. Think about that. More and more willing to go. Last week when we did our door hangers, I was so excited for all the people who came. All the people who came. Because the more that came, the more we got done. And we reached, we don't know how many people for the Lord. When believers begin to see and they begin to witness to fellow believers by giving and greeting and going, they're often encouraged to go and do the same. It builds. It blossoms. You know, it's a never-ending process if we get serious about it. Next week, it's been mentioned in our announcements, but I want to talk about it again. Next week, we have the chance to do all three. We have the chance to do all three. We can greet those who come on our Bring a Friend Day next week in a mighty and mighty powerful way. We can go out this week and invite everybody that you can think of. I don't care. We've already started. We've got a whole list of people. How many of them will come? I don't know. But they've been invited. I want to encourage every one of us. You know, everybody knows somebody that doesn't come to church. And I'm not talking about stealing them from Harvest or stealing them from the Methodist Church or anybody. I'm not talking about that. But if they want to come. No. But what I am talking about, we've got a community around us here, friends, with family and friends and people, even people maybe that we don't know. Maybe the young kid at the cash register at the grocery store or that waitress that served you a meal last night. Whatever the case, we've got someone that we can invite and say, I really want you to come. I really want you to come. I'm not trying to preach at you. I'm not trying to shove anything down your throat. I just want you to come. And think of the witness we can be to all of those folks when they come and see the love and unity amongst the believers who are already here. They're walking into somewhere that is real. They walk into somewhere that really practices what they preach. It really is amazing. The witness that it can be and will be to others will be incredible. Now, I want us to believe that we can be beyond capacity next week. Almost uncomfortable. But that's okay. Isn't that okay? That's okay. Our church has the opportunity, my friends, next week to set the bar. We have the opportunity to set the bar in our community when it pertains to witnessing, both to the outside and to the inside. We have a grand, enormous opportunity. Just think about what would happen. Just think about what would happen to our community here in Williams, Arizona, as First Baptist Church began to witness like Barnabas. Think of the changes that will be made. I want to encourage everybody in their Christian walk. And I want us to encourage one another in our Christian walk by witnessing to each other. Because I promise you, just as I started and just as I'll end, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. I don't know if the slide's up. I'm going to share this with you, and then I'm going to pray, and we're going to wrap up. I'm watching, and I'm seeing what's going on. The Lord has laid this on my heart. It's something I've done for years, and I believe that it's important to encourage one another. We have the opportunity to encourage one another in our Christian walk. Encouraging Christian walk. I want us to encourage one another. Very, very soon, I'm going to unveil who I believe the first person is. Now, this is going to be an ongoing thing. Who's really standing out? This is not to shame anyone or hurt anyone. It's to encourage others, right? We're to witness to one another. Well, then just a short amount of time, I'm watching. And whoever I feel like, in my opinion, is really doing something to encourage our Christian walk, I'm going to bring them right up on this stage, and I'm going to present them the big championship belt that's got ECW right across the front of it. That's right. I'm going to. That's right. They're going to be the ECW champion. That's right. And it's for fun, but it's also because I think it's important to recognize one another when we do great things. Because the more we do that, the more we encourage one another. It's just like witnessing to one another here. When we witness through our giving, through our greeting, through our going, we encourage one another to keep that. We encourage one another to keep doing more. It's important. I'm telling you, because God is moving here, whether you've realized that or not. You know, here for weeks on end now, we've had wonderful, wonderful attendance. Again, we've been blessed today with literally people here from all over the world. God bless you, my friends. We're so glad to have you today. We have the opportunity, friends, to reach people for the Lord, maybe like never before. Look at what we're doing. And as that grows, the witnessing to one another is extremely important. Because the more we do that, the more we encourage one another. The more we encourage one another, the more we're willing to do. The more we're willing to do, the bigger we get. You know, and this is not about sheer numbers. It's about the more that we reach, the more they reach. And then we begin to make a real impact, not only just here in Williams, but in further in Flag, and on in Phoenix, and on in Texas, and New York, and everywhere else around the world for people who've heard the gospel of Christ. What a great thing it'll be when Jesus shows up one day and finds us being about His work. Won't that be wonderful? Let us pray. Father, we love You. Thank You so much for the opportunity to be here today. Thank You, Lord, again, for all that You've blessed today, the music, the words, the humor, everything. Lord, I pray today that we've been encouraged, Lord, in our Christian walk. I pray, Lord, that we are getting excited about the days ahead. Not only, Lord, just looking forward to the return of Jesus, Lord, but looking forward to uniting, Lord, as one, reaching our lost, Lord, reaching our loved ones, everyone, Lord, for the word of Christ. And Father, may we today have heard a word that encourages us to encourage one another through our witnessing, Lord. Let us see one another be cheerful givers. Let us see one another be cheerful greeters, Lord. And let us see one another be cheerful about going. Lord, whether it's a small project, whether it's a building project, whether it's just hanging a door hanger, Lord, whether it's going to another town, whatever you call us to do, Lord, may we be cheerful in our going. May we be cheerful in our witness to one another, Lord, because that will absolutely equal our cheer and our witness to the lost who are outside of our walls, that we could bring them in with the gospel of Christ. Thank you for all who have come today and have heard this word. Father, if there be one here today who does not know you, who has not personally accepted Christ today, ask him into their life and change their heart, Lord. I pray that during this invitation, Lord, your conviction would fall like rain, Lord, upon their heart today, that they say, you know what? I got to make it right. I can't wait anymore. I got to make it right. May we encourage one another today, Lord.